How is everyone this morning? Are you well? That's good. Praise God. So, this morning I'm going to be sharing on a topic that you don't hear very often, and that's because it's very controversial and preachers don't like preaching about it. People don't like speaking about it because usually when you leave the service, there'll be a lot of upset people looking at you. So I'll probably have less friends than what I have at the moment by the end of the service. But that's the way it goes. You win some, you lose some. That's what they say here in Australia, don't they? You win some, you lose some. But at the end of the day, I think that the truth will always prevail. I think that the truth is the best thing to speak, regardless of if you're stepping on people's toes, because we are here for a very short time. We are here temporarily. The Bible describes our stay here on earth as a flower in the wind, how it just fades away in next to no time. So we're not here for a long time. Eternity is our home. I spoke about eternity last time, I think, or the time before. So eternity is in your heart, and that's what we're aiming towards. Amen? Amen. We're aiming towards eternity, and the things of this earth are very, very short-lived. Our pleasures and the things that we like come to an end very quickly. But the love that we have in our heart toward God, that never comes to an end, because it'll last for eternity when we're with Him. And we will be with Him forevermore. Amen? Amen. So let's just pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this word that You put on my heart, Lord. I pray that, Lord, it would be encouragement. My intention this morning, Lord, is not to upset people. It's not to make them feel bad or uncomfortable. But, Lord, I just pray that because of what is said, that they would be encouraged, Lord, and that it would cause change in their life and in my life, Lord. Father, use my voice, Lord, to be able to speak to them. I pray that You would use me. You would give me the correct words to say, that I would never say anything out of place, Lord. But I would say everything led by the Holy Spirit. Lord, if I'm about to say something that is not right, stop me now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so this very controversial subject I'm speaking about is the power of music. The power of music. If I was to ask every single one of you here this morning, one by one, what music do you listen to, it would probably be totally different one to the other. There is power in music. Before I go on, who created music? God created music. It wasn't the devil. So let's not get that wrong. The devil has used the music now to trick people, to kill people, right, and to lead people astray. That is the truth. People are being led astray because of the power of music. And it wasn't intended to be like that. From the word go, God created music to be for Him, to worship Him, to adore Him. It was never meant to be for people to kill each other, to take drugs, to make them feel high and cause mass destruction. In this country, not in America, forget about America for a minute, in this country of Australia, have you seen on the news what's going on? How many people are dying at these music festivals? Or is it just me that is a little bit weird and takes too much notice or puts too much emphasis on this thing? Six dead, countless overdoses. Why has Australian music festival culture turned deadly? People are dying, young kids are dying. The devil is killing our young ones. Don't think it's a joke. Don't think that it's just a fairy tale I'm talking to you about. The devil is killing our young people. And he's killing them in a way that we're not even noticing it. The devil has come to kill and destroy, but Jesus came to give life and life more abundantly. Sorry if I'm going to tread on your toes, but at the end of the day, I can come here and give you a beautiful sermon. Jesus loves you, this I know, because the Bible told me so. Junior, you're going to heaven. Everything's going to be fine. Tawana, no problems. Everything's good. Don't worry, your finances will be taken care of. Leave the meeting, everyone's happy. Yay, cheering me on. Yes, yes, yes. I'm not here for a popularity meeting. All right? I'm not here to be popular. I'm just here to tell you what I'm feeling in my heart. And it was so heavy on my heart last night that at 8 o'clock I had to ring Marilla. I said, Marilla, what do you reckon? Am I a little bit strange? I'm going to be speaking about this controversial subject. What do you think? I just want a second opinion. Should I be speaking about this? And to my surprise, she said, yes, you should be speaking about it 100%. Maybe in a way I was hoping she was going to say no. But she said, yes, I agree with what you're about to say. So, let's move on. The power of music. Father, in Jesus' name. A preacher asked the lady to go over for dinner one night. Sorry, start again. The lady asked the preacher, do you want to come to my house for dinner? So the preacher and his wife go over to such and such a person, to their house. They have dinner, and the lady uses these very special, I don't know if they were gold-plated little spoons, you know, the little tiny ones for dessert. She puts it there. Anyway, everything's good. They have a beautiful meal. The pastor goes home that night. The lady gets all the cutlery and starts washing it up. She notices one of her prized possessions is missing. One of those little golden spoons is missing. She looks at the house under the table and in the garbage bin and under the carpet, under the rugs, everywhere. She can't find this spoon. She thinks, did the pastor steal my spoon? Surely not. Why would he steal a spoon? Yes, it's probably worth a little bit because it's a gold-plated spoon, but I can't imagine the pastor stealing my spoon. She thinks about it and thinks about it and thinks about it. Lord, forgive me. I'm thinking bad things towards the pastor. Maybe he did steal a spoon. Anyway, 6 months goes by. She can't help herself. She invites the pastor back again. Thinks, I'm going to check this out now. Let's wonder if he steals the spoon again. All right. The pastor comes over. They have dinner. They have dessert. She's looking at him. Anyway, they get up to go. But the spoon, she's looking at that spoon, it's still there. As he's going out the front door, she greets the pastor and we're not talking about this pastor, we're talking about another pastor. She says to the pastor, Pastor, I've got a question for you. He says, what's the question? Last time you came, a spoon went missing. Did you happen to take it home by mistake, as if you would take a spoon home by mistake? The pastor says, no, I didn't take it home by mistake. She says, what happened to it? He says, I put it in the Bible on the coffee table inside one of the pages. 6 months went by. She never saw the spoon in the Bible in the coffee table. You understand? What I'm about to tell you, I don't want you to take it just that voice or just that face value. I want you to go home and read and see what was said this morning. Is that true or did he make it all up? Is the Lord trying to speak to me or is it just something that he made up? That's what I want you to do. Don't leave that spoon in the coffee table Bible in the Bible on the coffee table, but read for yourself. That way you will know if what I'm saying is truth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. So, what does the Bible say about music? Music is an inherent part of society. It's everywhere you go. It's in the shopping centres. It's in your car. It's in your house. It seems to change the mood, doesn't it? Music changes the mood. So, having said that, since music is such an important part of life, it should not be surprising that the Bible says a lot about it. In fact, the longest book of the Bible, the Psalms, talks about music. It talks about Psalms. 7% of the Old Testament is found in the Psalms. So it takes up 7% of the Old Testament. In addition to the Psalms, we have Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, and other books of the Bible that speak about songs, song lyrics, and things like that. Song lyrics are recorded in Revelation. If you've got a piece of paper and a pen, I haven't got time to read it because we'd be here for hours, but Revelation, you can read it at home. Revelation chapter 5, verse 7. There's a mention there also in Matthew chapter 16, verse 30, where Jesus and the disciples are singing together. So music and song was something that Jesus did also. Amen? Yeah. The examples are there. The apostles were singing in Acts chapter 16, verse 25. So the church is commanded to communicate to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Amen? Singing and making music from the heart to the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9. Was it 19? 19, sorry. So the first reference that we have about music in the Bible is found in Genesis chapter 4. Am I going too fast for people writing down? No? Okay. It's found in Genesis chapter 4, verse 21. The fourth generation of Adam through Cain, and it is recorded that he is the father of those who played the windpipes. Other early references to music are found in Exodus chapter 15, verse 1. So Moses and the Israelites were singing victory songs when they overthrew the army of Egypt at the Red Sea. Two of the Old Testament's most important figures wrote down this. Moses and David wrote down. And they recorded three songs in the Bible. That was Moses and David, numerous amount of songs. The songs that sung during Pharaoh's army, destruction of Pharaoh's army in Exodus chapter 15, verse 1 to 18, it's a song that recounts the faithfulness of God and the rebellion of Israel, which was sung before the people just before his death in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 1 to verse 43. And a prayer also recorded in Psalm chapter 9. David, the sweetest of all the psalmists, in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 1, is credited with writing down about 150 songs recorded in the Psalms. He was the official musician in Saul's court. And that's found in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14 to verse 23. Music was used in conjunction with all types of activities. And we can find the different activities that music was used in Genesis chapter 31, verse 27. In Exodus chapter 32, verse 17. In Numbers 27, 17. Judges 11:34, Isaiah 16:10. Do you want me to keep going? I could read another 15. Music was used in all sorts of things, in events for royal courts, at feasts. It's interesting to note that the connection between music and the supernatural is very real. I'm going to say that again. It's interesting to note the connection between music and the supernatural. Don't let anyone tell you that music is just music and there's nothing behind it. Don't let anyone tell you that the lyrics don't matter. It's just the melody you need to listen to. There is a supernatural power in music. The trumpet sounded, and what happened to the walls of Jericho? Is that supernatural or not? The walls of Jericho came down when the trumpets started playing. Joshua chapter 16, verse 1 to verse 20. David played the harp to soothe Saul during demonic attack. So there is power in music. There is a supernatural power in music. Amen?
Yeah.
1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14. Two of the Gospels mentioned, in fact, that Jesus and his disciples sang a hymn at the end of the Last Supper. It's found in Matthew 26, 30, and also in Mark 14, 26. Elsewhere in the Gospels, music is seen as part of mourning and part of celebration. So the mourning is found in Matthew 9:23, and the celebrations are found in Luke chapter 15, verse 25. Paul gives instructions regarding the use of music during Christian gatherings. In Ephesians 5:19, you'll also find some instructions in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. In Ephesians, we see that addressing each other in hymns, songs, is an indication and indicates of a spirit-filled person. In Colossians, the same thing is done. It's shown that we are filled with the Word of God and it comes forth as a song from our heart. In James 5:13, he is commanded, if anyone is cheerful, let him sing praise. Both the Old and the New Testament address music strongly and they support it in the use of worship. Music is used in churches today and is valuable and can honour God in a special way. Music is a communication tool and a spirit-filled Christian is a singing Christian. Amen?
Amen. Yes.
Was Satan in charge of music in heaven? Down the back. You got that one, that PowerPoint? Is it there? Was Satan in charge of music in heaven? We believe he was. Ezekiel chapter 28, 13. Seems like he was involved in music in heaven. The workmanship of the timbrels and the pipes was prepared before you that day you were created. So God created music. He created Lucifer at the time, who was doing the right thing at the time and giving praise to God with the music. But because of the pride that entered into his heart, God forbid that pride would ever enter into our heart. Amen. Because of that pride that entered into Lucifer's heart, that beautiful music that was created for him to lead and to give praise to God with turned upside down. And he was cast out. But do you think he left the music there? He took the music with him. That's why I say there is power in music. The devil has power in music. Please don't think that this is a fairy tale I'm talking about. This is true.
Yes.
There is supernatural spiritual power, deadly power in music when the devil gets a hold of it. And believe me, a lot of artists these days in your television screens are using lyrics that would make your hair stand up on your arms. It is vulgar. It is hurtful. There is pride in it. There is aggression in it, all sorts of stuff. So let's be careful what we listen to. There's two scriptures that talk about Satan before he fell, and it's in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 12, and also in Isaiah 14, 15. And it just speaks about what happened at his fall, and that he also took one third of the angelic beings with him. Now, we don't know how many angels there was at that time in heaven. There could be trillions and billions and quadrillions or whatever the word is, but he took one third of them with him. So there's plenty around, and they're all professional musicians, and they know how to sing, and they know how to play because they used to do it to glorify God. But now they're not doing it to glorify God. Now they're doing it to cause destruction and hurt and hatred and trying to take people to hell with them.
That's right.
So 1/3 of those angelic beings were cast down. And what we need to do as Christians is be careful of the music we listen to. I don't want anyone to be hurt by music, but music can hurt you. Music can uplift you, but music can pull you down really quick. There's a few different people and musicians out there that I thought to myself, they're not too bad. Like I said, if this offends you, well, I don't know. Michael Jackson sings a song, it's called Money. Has anyone ever read the words to that song? They go like this. Anything, anything, anything for money. I'd like you for money. I would die for you. I would even sell my soul to the devil for you. Kanye West said at a concert, I sold my soul to the devil. Van Halen sings a song, Running with the Devil. Katy Perry, her parents are Christians. She says this in an interview. I went around with my Christian parents, and at the age of 15, I wanted to be just like Amy Grant. But it didn't work out, so I sold my soul to the devil. Surprising, I never thought she would say something like that. Sammy Davis Jr., so I'm not just speaking about the young ones. Sammy Davis Jr. is seen in a photo which I saw, and you can see it for yourself. He's posing with a Temple of Set founder Michael Aquilino and the Church of Satanist founder and high priest Anton Levy in California. Why would you be hanging around blokes like that? David Bowie said this, rock has always been the devil's music, and you can't convince me that it isn't like that. John Bon Jovi said this. He sings a song that says, when I was just a boy, the devil took my hand. He took me from my home and he made me into a man. Jimi Hendrix says this. You can say to people about music, and when you get to their weakest point, you can preach into their subconscious mind whatever you want to say. Madonna, Christina Aguilera and Britney Spears in a concert that promoted homosexuality said, and I quote, we are bored with a concept of right and wrong. I told you I was going to upset people this morning, didn't I? Eminem has a song that says this. It's called Role Model. Smoke weed, it says, take pills, drop out of school and kill people and then drink. Nice words, hey? Nice for our young kids to hear that. Good on them. Real good role models. You believe that? They're really champions, aren't they? Lovely words. Spice Girls. That were aiming towards the really young kids. Real young kids. We're talking how old? 9, 10, junior? Really, really young. Supposed to be positive role models. What do they say? There's a song that says, do it. And it says, who cares what they say? Because rules are made for breaking anyway. Who made them anyway? Who made the rules anyway? AC/DC says it's a highway to hell, and everyone knows that's a really old song. Some of the elderly folk have probably heard that, highway to hell. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, this guy out the front's got no idea, no one takes notice of lyrics anyway. Okay, well, if that's the case, and no one takes the lyrics seriously anyway, tomorrow at school or in your university or at your workplace, how about you start to sing something like this? Jesus loves me anyway because the Bible told me so. Or we can sing Jesus' name above all names, beautiful Saviour, glorious Lord. Emmanuel, God is with us. Blessed Redeemer, glorious Lord. Why don't we sing that? Do you reckon people would notice the lyrics? They don't notice Highway to Hell, but would they notice those lyrics? The devil is trying to infiltrate into our minds and he's using music to do it. The devil is a liar, he's a thief, and he's a destroyer. He wants to destroy young kids. Don't think he's a joke. He wants to destroy young kids. And you, as well as myself, we love our kids. We love our children, we love our grandchildren. We love our brothers and sisters. So let's take a stand and let's tell people what is behind this music. Let's tell them that this music is not good for them because the words are deadly, as you can see, and destructive. They're not positive in any way, shape or form. Three, should a Christian listen to secular music? I'm going to leave that up to you. I think I've said enough to make you think about it. The purpose of music, I believe, number one, and the second is the contents of the lyrics. They're the things that we should be looking at. The purpose of the music that is being played and the contents of the lyrics. Have you seen some of the film clips getting around? Are they good? Far from it. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, well, I'm sort of on the fence, you know, I'm not sure. Maybe I listen to a little bit of music, Christian music, but I also listen to a bit of secular music. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. You're making a big mountain out of a molehill, Lorenzo, out there this morning. Okay. There's two fields. There's one field over here, big field with hundreds and hundreds of people. There's another big field over here, hundreds and hundreds of people. There's a fence down the middle. There's people sitting on the fence because they don't know what side to get on. They don't know if they should go on this side with all those Christians. They don't know if they sit on this side with all the non-Christians. The devil goes up to the person sitting on the fence line and says, why are you sitting on the fence? The people say to the devil, I'm sitting on the fence because I don't know what side to get on, whether to get on that side, whether to get on that side. So I'm sitting on the fence. The devil says, well, guess what? I own the fence. I own the fence. Does it ring a bell? Church of Laodicea? Neither hot nor cold. What did God say? I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth because you're neither hot nor cold. Don't sit on that fence. The devil owns the fence. Amen?
Amen.
This morning, I want to be an encouragement to you, and I don't want you to feel condemned or put down because of what you've been listening to. There's always time for change. There's always new beginnings. Amen?
Amen.
There's a man whose name was Mordecai Ham. Mordecai Ham, Dr. Mordecai Ham. He was born in 1877 and he died in 1961. Anyone heard of this guy? No. He preached in America as a Baptist preacher. Got married at the age of 30. His wife died five years later. That could have turned him right off everything, couldn't it? But not him. Mordecai said, no, I'm going to keep preaching. And preaching and preaching. He preached at a sermon once in a church. At the end of the sermon, he'd done the altar call. Not many people went forward. I think only one person went forward, if I remember correctly. At the end of his life, he wrote a journal, and he mentioned that night that he felt so down because only one person came forward for the altar call. And he preached his heart out, but that night was such something inside of him. And he wrote down the name of the person that came to the front. And his name was William Franklin, better known as Billy Graham. Do you see what I'm saying? If I only speak to one person today and it causes a change in your life, it doesn't really worry me if it's offended other people. Billy Graham changed a lot of our world, didn't he? And this man felt so down because only he came forward that night. This morning, I want God to bless you. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to look at music a little bit differently today, next week, next year, and think about what God has done. He created this music, but he created it for his glory, for positive things and not negative things, for good and not for evil, not to destroy all these young people in Melbourne, in Sydney. All these rock concerts are getting killed. In America, where was it? Las Vegas, at a concert. Same thing. The bloke goes in and starts shooting everyone. You might be saying, okay, well, that was a different thing altogether. But it seems to be a big concoction, doesn't it? A little bit of this and a little bit of music and drugs and this and that and firearms. But the fact of the matter is, how many people are dying around us? We need to pray for our young people. We need to pray for our elderly people as well. Because sometimes some of the music they're listening to, they're not taking notice of the lyrics either. Lyrics are important. Music is important. And I want you to be encouraged this morning. Let's all stand. I wonder if we can sing that song. If you need to get your heart right with God this morning, you don't have to tell me, you don't have to confess to me. You know, there's certain religions where you have to go to the front and get in a little tight door, and there's a man over the other side that you can't see, and you need to tell him everything, and then he will forgive you. You've confessed to him and he forgives you of your sin. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that your Heavenly Father will forgive you. He's faithful and just to forgive you if you confess to him. You don't have to tell me anything about music, what you have done in the past, what you're doing at the moment. I don't need to know. God knows. He sees your heart. He knows you. He knows every record you have in your house. He knows every CD. He knows what's on your iPad. He knows what's on your MP3 player. He knows everything. Yes. So you don't have to tell me and feel guilty about what I'm saying. But what I want you to do is maybe just rethink about it. Go back, those scriptures that I've given you, go back and just have a look and see that there is power in music. There is spiritual power behind music. Amen.